Fearscape Media Network. Exploring the unknown. One podcast at a time.
Support for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels.
Yeah, man. You know, I used to use a regular beard trimmer for taking care of business down below.
Oh, dude, I just gave up on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, after you nick yourself a couple of times and, you know, I'm really sensitive about that area because I really don't know what's going to happen if I cut into something that is a pump full of blood. You know what I'm saying?
Well, dude, I'm super excited that we were some of the first people to get to try the Lawnmower 4.0. In fact, Josh, using it right now.
Oh, why'd you have to leave the video on? Come on,
yeah.
Dude.
Ah, smooth as eggs. Seriously, though, man, I love this. I have really, really sensitive skin. So getting to have advanced skin-safe technology on this thing, I now feel confidence shaving not only my face, but below the waist. Right. And now you don't even have to bust out your cell phone flashlight because it has a light on the front of it. To hit those dark areas makes all the difference in the world. So I'm just telling you guys right now, our listeners, if you guys are shaving your face and body with the same trimmer, you are doing it wrong.
So if you want to pick up your own Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer or any of the other great products that are offered by Manscaped, like these amazing boxer briefs that they sent us.
So comfortable.
Head on over to manscaped.com and use promo code Fearscape and get 20% off and free shipping. Again, 20% off, free shipping. Manscaped.com, promo code Fearscape. Unlock your confidence now.
Smooth as eggs.
Thank you for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. We are on a journey to understand and to discover the phenomena that seems to exist all around the globe. We invite you to join us on this journey into the unknown.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another
super rad, actually, episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. I am your host, Stefan Gerhardt, and I am joined, as always, by the elusive co-host of mine, Mr. Josh Rutledge. What's happening, sir? What is happening?
Oh, man, you know, it's been a crazy couple, like a week, because we moved. You know, it's like a big ticket item to move out of the house that we were owning to get it ready to like sell is our in our preparatory stuff to move to Arizona. So I'm exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted, but I am pumped and ready for this episode.
Yeah, me too, man. We got a super cool episode, man. Most of you guys know we've been alluding for quite some time and talking about something that's been going on for months now, I guess, whereas we received a number of emails and continue to do so from a man claiming to be Terry Wrist, the same Terry. Well, once you hear about it, it's not necessarily the same Terry Wrist, but you'll see. Same Terry Wrist mentioned in Hellier, as well as Alan Greenfield's books where he interviewed this man. We've had a lot of verification with Alan Greenfield as well as Olav Phillips. And so we've been in contact with this guy who's really Terry Wrist part of it is not what has mattered. He's basically become kind of a paranormal informant for us. This man has opened many doors for us. He has opened our eyes to many strange things, conspiracy things, shaver mystery things, all kinds of craziness that we are still looking into and researching and constantly talk all the time. Especially with Santosh. But like I said, we talked to Olav quite a bit as well. And even Alan Greenfield. And so we're going to be talking about that, making it public for up till now. It's all been on our Patreon as part of what we like to call Wristwatch, where people there have been able to join in on the mystery and get filled in on all of our conversations that we've had, as well as clues and to see if they could join in on the mystery and add their own insight to these things as we try to we're not necessarily trying to figure out who this person is as much as trying to figure out the information that he's given us and what it's all leading to. So it's all pretty fascinating, but we wanted to go ahead and catch everyone up that is not on Patreon over what we've been talking about on there for the next couple months, to remind you to join our Patreon, because part of being on the Patreon, especially at the second or third tier there.
Second tier
there, you get access to all of this information and get to join in on this with us. And we will still be going over new things on Patreon, not here in public, because we just don't have time to do so. But we did have a free slot this week and we thought, hell, let's go ahead and talk about it and get our fans out there that have been curious as to what's been going on. And, you know, wet your whistle a little bit for what goes on the Wristwatch Patreon there, becoming a blanket hugger. So we're going to be discussing as much as we can within the time slot where we are with all of that and the mystery and how it's just unfolded. So
yeah,
that's the best way to put it.
And really how it's, you know, kind of even influenced some of our kind of direction and thinking around paranormal in general and topics that we talk about.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, it has fed our journey 100%, and it has really brought Santosh much closer to the stage with us, even Olav and Alan Greenfield. It's going to be great. And of course, you know, you guys can always go straight to the Patreon, get all this information now, as well as upcoming information. We have live Q&As that we do to talk about all this stuff. That's patreon.com/fearscapepod or fearscapepodcast.com/support. Either of those places, become a monthly member. It also helps us grow the podcast and do all the wonderful things we do, grow the network, grow Astral Stew. Well, we've got a number of projects coming up the next year.
And as you'll hear over the next hour or so, there's a lot of destinations that Terry wants us to go to. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff costs money. So anything that we can get to help,
as does some higher tier guests that we're trying to book as well. Sometimes they are not free. And so we are, looking to do that. So all of your support helps, as well as going to our store, fearscapepodcast.com/store. You can get t-shirts. You can get the Jersey Devil shirt. It's super comfy. And, you know, socks, all kinds of stuff from the Jersey Devil back there, as well as all sorts of stuff. There's just so much awesomeness on there.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Josh?
On to things.
So make sure to like, share, rate, and review and all that stuff. So let's get to our first segment, which, of course, is the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary's Psychic Word of the Week.
And now, the psychic word of the week.
Psychic word of the week comes from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary. June G. Bletzer, PhD, author extraordinaire, lover of my soul, rest in peace, honey bear, we miss ya, never knew ya. I flipped through the pages, Josh, and I landed on page 308. And the phrase that grabbed my attention here was incubation dreaming. Again, some of these sound like really great like band names or like book titles.
I think you're thinking of the band Incubus.
No, I'm not, because that's more like Succubus and Incubus. I'm not on that route. It just sounds cool, like a cool, trippy sci-fi movie. But incubation dreaming, this is an Egyptian or Greek or Roman term around the 3000 BC time, says a traditional method used to deliberately induce the nature of a dream where one spent the night in a sacred temple designed for dream incubation. People came to the temple for answers to problems and to be healed physically. The problem was posed or the healing need requested before retiring. The priest interpreted the meaning of the dream in the morning. Methods of stimulating the dream were to A, rub the body with special oils, B, to sleep in the skin of a freshly killed animal, or C, just simply burn incense. Definition here is an indeliberate dreaming in which an inventor or artist receives his or her answer to their daytime work in symbol form, or clearly and vividly in an image form to be used as presented in the dream. The sleep state of the mind allows answers to come to problems that do not flow during conscious thinking, but which surface when the conscious mind is passive. And then the third definition here is to elicit specific dreams at will. One makes a request for an answer to a problem or for personal guidance before falling off to sleep. The dream will bring the answer, usually in symbolic form. So all are pretty similar. Just seems to me the where and how.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminded me a little bit, and that's where I thought you were going with it when you were talking about the chamber. It reminded me of like a deprivation tank. But that's not really what they were talking about. They were, it was just more.
I'm sitting there like, this is a money making idea. Like, we could create a hostel, like, where you could come in and we'll chant and we'll get you incensed up and all kinds of stuff. And we'll do a ritual where you get ready to receive the answer from your dream. And then in the morning, you tell us that dream, and we have one of us, go over and interpret that dream for them. Like, and that's the whole package. Like, you get a whole night's stay.
You get a whole night's stay.
I think that would do really well. I think that would, I mean, there's all kinds of shit like that. Like, you can spend the night in a man-made salt cave right now. Like, in Louisville, there's a place.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you could call it, like, you know, Dreamscapes or something. So
Dreamscape. Yep. Hashtag Dreamscape, even though it's copyrighted by, like, whatever that movie company was. But no. But yeah,
Dreamscape. But I do own spiritscape.com.
So there you go. Spiritscape or Dreamscape. As long as you use the big S, right? Does that count?
Yeah. Right. I don't know.
Separate them into two different words.
Yeah.
Dream.
Yeah. We'll separate. Escape. We'll separate them with a third eye symbol.
But yeah, I think that's really, really cool. And I know that's something that me, you, and Santosh have all done already anyways. It's like, you know, you go to bed and you do. It's like, hey.
Yep.
Here's what I'm thinking. This is what I want to see. I mean, we're always looking for either an astral travel or just some sort of answer in a dream. You know, we're looking for that while we dream. And so now we know that that's an incubation dream is what that means is, you know, when you're trying to be proactive about it, I guess.
Yep. I mean, I think that's probably true.
Yep. I just had one. Just woke up. I had an incubation dream.
Well, I wonder, though, like, I mean, think about the chamber, though, with the Egyptian stuff. I mean, it probably would have been quiet in there. You would have been just you and your smells and stuff like that. So it is a little bit like a deprivation chamber.
I'm down for the incense. I'm down for the oils. But they having to be in the skin of animal a freshly carcass, killed animal, that's too much like Luke with a tauntaun. Yeah, I mean, and I'm just like, well, I don't know.
I mean, maybe that's why Luke saw Yoda, is because he was in the tauntaun.
Maybe he was having an incubation dream. Usurp win the reward award for life.
I
gotta even say, Josh, that was pretty clever. It was pretty clever. Like, I'm gonna go incubate about it.
I just tied Star Wars to psychic dictionary.
You did. Well, thank you, Junji Bletzer. Incubation dream. So let's go ahead and then move on to our next segment, which is the UAP UFO sighting of the week. All right, Josh, UAP UFO sighting of the week. What do we got? Where's it from? What's it about?
Yep. So this actually came from New Fork.
As opposed to Old Fork.
Right. And it actually happened in Lachute, I don't know, Canada. So
how you spell it?
Lachute.
Lachute.
But I mean, it doesn't, you know, there could be a little thingy above the E, but it's not captured in the text that's captured here. Right. So. I don't know. But anyways, it happened on...
It means the fall.
Ah, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe this maybe this makes sense. So it happened on August 18th at approximately 9 o'clock local time. It says,
"My friend's girlfriend was first to see the object, which at first looked like a fireball going from west to east. But after about 10 to 15 seconds, the circular object was just bright orange in color, and it seemed to have slowed down and did a circular motion a couple of times, and then continued going eastward and disappeared behind some clouds. It was dark out and the stars were out, but there were also some clouds to the east."
Well, shoot.
But I've been out at night before and seen, it's like Arcturus is a really bright orange star, you know, that you mm-hmm. see in the night sky. And I know people are probably hearing this and thinking, oh, they're just talking about that star. But I've never seen Arcturus really look like it's moving in the sky before, like to where it disappears. So,
I mean, I know sometimes when the clouds move, it can feel as if the sky is moving and the clouds are staying still. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But he's saying they were off to the east, right?
Yeah, and it was coming from the west to the east. So it doesn't say which direction the clouds were moving, but
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's possible that it was just a trick of the eyes. But I don't know. I mean,
maybe that's when you bust out that star chart.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it slowed down and moved in a circular motion. I mean, the circular motion piece. I mean, that's just the I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I mean,
that's what happened to us with whatever we saw.
Yeah. Well, it was Waverly.
Capella that was near Capella. I mean, this thing was moving in a circle and moving all around. So.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. I mean, is it possible that these things hide in plain sight, right? They just take mm-hmm. up a position in front of a star that you expect to see there and then sit there. And
what if it's like bending light? It's reflecting light, kind of like the Predator's camouflage, right? And it makes it look like that star is moving, but there is something moving underneath of it, right? So it's not the star that's actually moving. It's this camouflaged ship.
Well, it's like the aircraft carriers, right, from S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. and the Marvel stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting story. I'd like to know more
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Yeah, always do. I mean, we are not short on UAP sightings that we can pull from. So that's a fact.
Not at all.
Yeah, let's go ahead and move on from that, Josh, and we'll get to our last segment before we get to our topic tonight, which is creepy ketchup. And it has been a while for creepy ketchup.
It has.
Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup.
Creepy ketchup.
Creepy ketchup. Y'all, it's creepy.
All right, creepy ketchup, man. Josh, it has been a dry spell for the both of us in terms of paranormal activity. It seems like it comes in waves, so I'm wondering if this is the start.
Well, and it's... Yeah, and it's funny because the individual we're going to talk about in a few minutes has hinted at there being some sort of a shift that's coming, mm-hmm. and so I wonder if as the current mode was winding down, stuff slacked off, and then now it's picking back up again. So
I mean, we are also getting closer to the time of year when the veil is the thinnest, so when mm-hmm. this paranormal activity tends to be at its height, right? Which is, about a month away, month and a half away. So it's like, there's the summer is definitely not that time.
Yeah, I mean, I would even say that the veil is probably starting to thin now, right?
Oh, it thins all year round. That's the thing. I mean, it never stops. Yeah. It's like if the pagan holidays are any indication, midsummer is that point, where it's at its thickest, right? Because the day is the highest there. Oh, no. I guess it would be probably either Ostara or Beltane. Regardless, right at the end of spring, summer area is kind of when it would kind of be at its thickest, right? And then it would slowly start to phase and thin as we get closer to Samhain, which is Halloween. So...
Yeah,
it just gets thinner and thinner. Yeah, I don't feel like it's a light switch. It's like, happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Well, it makes me also wonder, some of the things we've talked about with common occurrences or common situations happening, like, you know, Bigfoot, ghosts, and UFOs and stuff. I wonder, it might be worth looking at my data to see if more UFO sightings happen when the veil is thin.
Right. So in the fall and winter.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
And that could just be because it gets darker earlier and people see more of the stuff at dark, you know. But
sure, you're able to pay attention to more. I mean, right. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. There's 100 things. Well, I'll go first. I know we both have some stuff here. Yep. Mine has been work related. So to all my work listeners, get ready. Mine tends always seems to happen, you know, like somehow the bathroom is in the story. But I was in the restroom on one of my breaks, or as I like to call it, the long break. Just kidding. I'm using the restroom in there by myself, and I hear the door open. I'm in the stall. There's two stalls. I'm in the stall. Hear the door open, and hear footsteps, and I'm finishing up. And as I'm standing up, getting ready to flush the toilet, I hear a big grunt, like just a clearing of the throat, right? Yep. And then nothing. And I'm like, okay, I guess he's still standing there because the door is super loud. So even if I flush, but I'm tall, I see over the edge when I'm standing up. So I just assumed there was a short person in there. I get out of there, ain't a soul in the bathroom. No one. And literally the throat clear happened 10 seconds before I walked out of that stall. It would not have been enough time, especially like I said, I could see, I would have heard the door. It's super loud, and it's not the women's restroom next door because their door is not loud like that. And this was very much a man's, like, just throat clear. But it gave me the willies. Like, I haven't had the willies, the heebie-jeebies in quite some time. And that got me, man. And so that was a couple days ago. And like where I work, we have these long rows of cubicles. And I sit back to back with one of my good friends, Gabriel. And like, we're always talking to each other. So we'll always back up and kind of just poke each other on the shoulder. Be like, hey, man, blah, blah, doo, blah, doo, blah, doo. Certain inside joke. Well, I got tapped on my shoulder a number of times. I turn around and Gabe's on the phone. Like, it happened. It's happened every day since the bathroom incident. Like, I felt somebody tapping on my shoulder. Me thinking it's Gabe turning around, like, because it feels like how Gabe would tap. But he's too far to move that quick. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way it would happen. And plus, he's like mid phone call. So like, that would never happen. Each time. And it's like making the hair on my arm stand up. Because if there's something energetically that feels different about it. So I don't know what's going on, or if it's that same ghost that I saw months and months back, or if it's something completely different,
or if it's just
a spirit that just wants to toy with me and have some fun and mess with me. I don't know. But I do find it funny that, you know, a lot of this happened after we spoke to Lon Strickler, you know, you know, talking about psychic gifts and things like that, and which made me kind of start thinking about that stuff again. And I started opening myself again. So I don't know. But yeah, definitely have had a number of things at work happening. So I thought that was really cool. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, you've actually got one more that you probably forgot about, but I'm going to talk about my two things and then I'll circle back to it.
Okay.
So like I said early on, we're moving, we're in the process of moving into our rental house to get ready to sell our house to move to Arizona next year. And the couple nights I was over here by myself, getting the modem set up and things like that. And I kept seeing like this this shadow would come through the kitchen and turn the corner and go down the hallway. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I didn't really think much of it because, you know, it's whatever. So the first night that we actually stay here in the house, my daughter, Layla, who I think probably has some sensitivity, all of a sudden says she doesn't feel good to her stomach. She ends up like 20 minutes later, she ends up puking. So I go and get some sage that I had. And I, you know, get it going, and I walk around and I do every room in the house and the basement, the whole kit caboodle. And then what I usually do when I would do it at the other house is I would just, after I got done doing everything, I would get a little Pyrex bowl that I would just set it in and kind of let it sit there and smoke until it goes out. Well, so I did that, went to bed. It burned all the way down. It burned all. I got up the next morning, it was just ash inside of that little cup. Like, I've never had that happen before for a sage, for it to just completely burn the entire time. So that was the first thing. But after doing that, I've not seen.
We've talked. I mean, your kid obviously is sensitive to this type of energy.
So, but I mean, since doing that, no problems. I mean, you know, no sickness, no.
Now, did you let her know you were doing that?
Yeah. I told her it was to get rid of the energy in the house. So, okay. But I also haven't seen the shadow since doing that. So, I mean, I never do it to get rid of everything. I just do it to get rid of anything that means, you know, any negative intention. But because I want my grandfather and Kristen's grandmother and stuff to feel comfortable coming to the house. So, and then like that night, I also really did a really strong ward and all that kind of stuff to really help things. But so that was the first thing. Then this morning, we were leaving the house to head to take the girls to school, and it was like dusk. I mean, it wasn't dark yet, but it also wasn't like the sun had not started to rise. And there was a plane that was flying over, and like it caught my eye because all I could see were three lights in a triangle formation with a single center red light flashing.
What?
And I dismissed it as an airplane. But later in the day, I thought about it, and I don't remember seeing any outline of an airplane. I just remember seeing the three white lights with the red flashing center. So I haven't gone back to look at the app, like FlightAware or something like that, to see if there was an airplane that flew through during that time. But it just, it bothers me a little bit that I can't, when I think about that image in my mind of watching it fly over and watching it as it, you know, because it kind of like, it kind of flew and kind of banked a little bit and then banked back the other way and then flew straight. And again, I don't only remember seeing the three white lights in a triangular pattern in that flashing center red light. So I need to go check that out and see if, you know, there was a plane that flew through during that time, because if not, I may have seen a UFO.
So. Wow. Yeah. If so, that would be sweet, because that's that sounds awesome. But I mean, I'm with you. Anything red or green light, I'm always hesitant. But yeah, what would it be?
Well, and I know, like, you know, airplanes have the bright light on the front, and sometimes they'll have bright lights on the wingtips, right? But those are like usually straightforward lights. They're for like, you know, hey, I'm coming at you type situations. It was past, and I could still see the bright white lights, which, you know, if there was a fuselage there, it would have blocked my view of the front light. So I need to go back and look it up and see if what I saw was a UFO. If there was no plane that flew through during that time, I'm going to report it to MUFON. So, All right. So the last thing for Creepy Ketchup that you probably forgot about is our dream synchronicities.
Oh, yeah. So weird, man, for us to have a dream synchronicity. Like, we both had like the most epic dream, like differently, well, but seems connected to me.
Well, and also, I mean, so it started with 3 nights ago. My wife had a dream that there were all these like demon looking beasts walking around and stuff in her dream. And then 2 nights ago, I had a dream that I was in like some old castle, and there was like a wooden bridge that was like falling apart, and I was trying to get my family across the bridge. And if you fell from the bridge, you fell into the like this abyss that like just would suck you into this other dimension, and you you know, would never escape. And like in that dream, with the abyss, like there was a part where we got across the bridge and we were headed like down this other corridor to try to get out. And we came upon this opening that was like in the woods and all the trees were dying and they were like piling up these bodies that were like tied and shrink wrapped to make sacrifices to something in the abyss. And then you told me about your dream, which was basically an alien hybrid invasion with Nazis. That, you know, we were trying to help people fight, fight the Nazis and fight the alien hybrid invasion and all this kind of stuff. So it's just weird that those three dreams happened within like 36 hours of each other, three different people, but seem related.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. Because yeah, the Nazis, I mean, could be castles and a cult, like, you know, some kind of stuff seems like yours was. The aliens were like these alien demon hybrids that seemed either coming from hell or from outer space or both. I mean, it's just, it was insane, yeah. Dude. And it's like, I remember the biggest thing was that when we had to go bomb the Nazis to try to, you know, to get rid of them because they were working with the alien demon hybrids. We got them, but we found all this information on how to kill them because the Nazis had planned, once they took over the world for the warlords, they were then going to get rid of the alien demons and have control over the earth. So they had all this like research on how to destroy them. And so we had this research after we had taken out the Nazis, and we were trying to go to this big tower, this radio tower, to give this broadcast to put this information out there, kind of like Quiet Place 2, it happened in there, but to put out there and how to defeat them and where to hide and how to hide and all this stuff. And you'd made a joke because I had said, man, this landscape sure is different than what it used to be. And you were like, this isn't the landscape, my friend, it's a fearscape. And I woke up. I mean, of course, there's much more to that dream that gets into some, you know, stuff about our friends and stuff. But really, really interesting stuff
there. Yeah. So bottom line, I mean, we went for a dry spell like what? I mean, probably like 4 or 5 or 6 episodes. We really didn't have any creepy catch up. And then all of a sudden, boom.
So that's a creepy catch up. I don't know if you got anything else, but that's all I've got.
That's all I've got for now.
I know. I'm anxious to see what all is going to happen here. But let's go ahead. We're going to take a very brief, small break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking about Wristwatch and our mysterious informant.
Hey there, blanket huggers. Stefan here from Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Got some good news for you. If you want to join in on the investigation of the mystery of the recent emails from the man claiming to be Terry Wrist to Josh and myself, aka the Spooky Crew, and his advice on where to look for more high strangeness, or if you simply want to become a patron blanket hugger for some cool swag and behind-the-scenes goodness, go ahead and join our Patreon at fearscapepodcast.com/support or patreon.com/fearscapepod. There you can get Wristwatch access to the Terry emails themselves, the WhatsApp conversation about it all with Josh, Stefan, Santosh, and Olaf Phillips, and even any clues that are new that we have found in other Fearscape-related bonus content. You can even help out and add anything that you have found to help us dive deeper into the mystery. And remember, you can also just be a normal blanket hugger, as there are a few non-wristwatch tiers for patrons not interested in Terry Wrist and that journey. You'll still have access to bonus interviews, articles, and live Patreon-only Q&As, as well as early access and discounted tickets to events put on by Fearscape, such as psychic events, tarot readings, etc. Or you can simply support however you feel comfortable, with tiers as low as $1. So join today!
Fearscape Media Network is your new home for everything weird and enlightening. Check out podcasts and YouTube shows covering content from discussions on horror films to the paranormal to meditation. Find out more at fearscapemedia.com.
Hey And thank you guys so much for sticking around. We are back. Josh, we are going to talk about the man claiming to be Terry Wrist and all of the crazy information that has been sent to us and the journey and path that we have been sent upon. We've even caught flack from other folks in the community over this, but I'm sorry, but the information that we have received is solid. And like I said, at this point, whether this person is indeed a Terry Wrist or a Terry Wrist or not Terry Wrist at all, is just somebody messing with us, the information that they've given us is incredible. And things I would have never thought to look into. You would have never thought, Olav, even Alan Greenfield, like, has had some questions for the said person to kind of verify the identity. Those questions were answered correctly. And some things like that. And so I don't know. Let's just get into it. There's so much to unpack, and let's just start getting into this. Remember, you can always join our Patreon to really dig into the mystery and share your thoughts as this continues to progress, because we are still receiving communications from this person, as well as information and all that stuff. So Josh, let's get cracking here.
Yeah. So, this actually started back in March. I think it was like March 18th. I'm finding the actual.
Is it really that long?
Yeah, it's been that far back. So, you know, sorry, March 28th, but still March.
Wow.
So
March,
yeah. So, you know, we have the report a sighting form on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, you know, people sending ghost stories and Bigfoot and all that kind of stuff. This came in on March 28th, the morning of, I was out with my family. We were at like Michael's or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to get I just happened to check email and saw that this came in. And so the first, you know, kind of input was via that report, a sighting form. And it just like, there's some questions that are like, it asks for the phone number, it asks for the email. And then, you know, the type of sighting it was, and there's an option for something else. And then it just has a place for you to fill in any additional details. So I think it's interesting that, number one, the phone number provided was 000-666-1313.
That's like the Munsters phone number, man.
Like, I haven't actually run that through the cipher, but I'm just curious if that actually does equate.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, God, the early days. I'm so past the cipher now. Like, because he was trying to, like, throw some cryptic bullshit at us at first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the message, you know, so he, like, the email address provided was, that would be too easy at nope.com.
So, yeah, if there's one thing I've learned is this man has a sense of humor, and you can see why Alan Greenfield would have been friends with him, like, because they both have a very distinct humor sometimes.
Yeah, because there's some times in here where we'll get into where he totally razzes me on all kinds of stuff. So I love the relationship we have. So so the message starts off with, you were looking in the right places. So what happened? Too many different white rabbit holes? Yes, I listen to every episode intently. The closer you get, the further you may feel from the mystery, because you will be so close. Sorry, so because you will be close to answers like Swords. Is the fool really foolish, or is the dog leading him astray?
Mm. And you know what's interesting? I think we both just clicked on something maybe different, but it's interesting being able to go back and hit some of this early stuff just to see how connected everything is. Is like, yeah. I've realized he's brought up tarot multiple times.
Yeah, he has.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yep. And we did, you know, so on this line in particular, we did make the correlation that, you know, there's a call out there to Swords, and there's a mm-hmm. call out there to the fool, because in that sentence, is the fool really foolish? The fool is capitalized. Mm-hmm. So the T and the F. And so that's, you know, talking to me. I mean, I think you even pointed out that on the traditional the fool card, there is a dog. So so it says, speaking of dogs, here's a bone. Look into NASA/Dryden. It won't be easy, but there's a clue there. Get ready for the real ride. the occult magic, spelled with a K, magic without the K, the coming astral, the thought processors, that's also capitalized, capital T, capital P, the sky discs, the furry tall men of the woods, and the sky mind, capital S, capital M. Time to get serious, spelled like the star, 2023, 58,000. 1. P.S. The 4, 5, 18, 15, and the 20, 5, 18, 15 are real, but exist far differently than you realize. Infiltration began with 12, 22, 5, and 7, 18, 5, 5, 18. It's just another Koresh. Salutations and happy hunting, TRW. So we break apart that first email. As we mentioned, there's some stuff in there about the Fool, the tarot card. We did do some investigation into NASA and Dryden, which led to some other stuff we'll get into in a little bit. I forgot about the thought processors.
Sky mind. Like, there's so much. I'm wondering if those connect with the Darrow Tarot stuff that we learned about later on. Yeah. If there's connections there. And I thought, like, the tall people in the woods was probably, like, Sasquatch. Like, he loves his hyperbole and riddles and stuff like that.
So the series of numbers there that we're given, like the 202-358-0001, that's the phone number to the information line for NASA. Like, remember you found that. So
yeah.
So it's like if you have a media inquiry, you can call that number.
Right, right. Which was interesting because it was on the same site we found, right, with about the Dryden stuff, which we find out is now, is it the Neil Armstrong or Edwards, or
it's Edwards.
Edwards Air Force Base.
Well, Edwards Air Force Base is the name of it. The actual name of the center. I think it might be the Armstrong.
Yeah, I think it is now. But yeah, it was the Dryden.
Yeah, it was Dryden, because Dryden was the first director of NASA. So yeah, and he was also the one of the first directors of NACA, which was the predecessor for NASA.
Yep.
So anyways, so at around 3 p.m. Eastern time, I received an email to our Fearscape podcast email address from a temp encrypted email account, and it said this: Spooky Boys. Which is funny because we always refer to ourselves as the Spooky Crew
or the Boys.
You have 15 minutes to ask me anything and I will tell you the truth. Any question, 15 minutes only. That's how long this temporary email lasts.
And now, oh, sorry. I was going to say, at this point, had we even, Santosh and I, had we even known about the first email yet?
No, because so.
Yeah, because I thought I didn't hear about it for a while because I was swimming.
You didn't. And actually, I think this might have even been the same day that you had your Quetzalcoatl dream in the pool.
No, that was different.
No,
because that was in Tombstone.
Okay. So so the email that came in that was later that day, again, I just happened to be looking at my phone and saw that it came in. And like three of the 15 minutes had elapsed.
Yeah.
So I scrambled to get something together to send as like an initial set of questions. I will say on his that last little piece there about, you know, you have 15 minutes. He did include a P.S., which is, am I cold yet? Cold is all caps. And then burr, B-R-R-R. So,
I think this is the day I was with Trisha and her son and my wife at the pool that Trisha and I saw that UFO during the daytime. And Trisha was like, nah, it's probably a plane. And I'm like, there's no way it's a plane.
So it's interesting, I think, because this is a call out to something that you and I have talked about on one of our multitude of shows that we've done, either on the podcast or on like Fearscape Unhinged or something, where we postulated that Terry might have been Ingrid Cold.
Right. So well, there was another thing, too, in the first email where we had talked about the astral, the oncoming astral war or whatever was brought up to us either in a session, an Estes session, or on the Ouija board. I don't remember.
It was the Ouija board, and it was while I was out there.
That's right.
With you all at the end of January, I think it was, or February. Right. So, yeah, just to take a moment to pause and say there are a lot of things that Terry has provided in an email that either were mentioned before the email or after the email in Estes or a Ouija board session. And a lot of those things we have not purposefully not talked about on the podcast.
Right.
So as to not taint the validity of if this stuff is, you know,
right. You always have to hold things close. I mean, it's like an active murder investigation or things like that. You don't share every piece of information because you need to know, because there's so many people that will just claim that it's them.
Right.
Whatever.
So,
and so we've done that. We hold on. And we, even with this whole investigation, there's pieces that we've still held close, because we don't want people getting hurt, by checking things out. But, you know, just because we have to keep things close on purpose.
Yeah. So, again, I scrambled, and this is what I responded with as questions. Are you a hybrid? Is Slough short for a government agency? Do you know where Ingrid Cold is? We don't believe him to be dead. Is there a code we can use to contact you? His response was,
well, hey, that's a lot to unpack right there, too, because that's a lot of stuff we had already been talking about at that point. Some of our own theories on things.
Well, so let's backtrack a little bit to unpack what we're talking about there. So at a Ouija session in my backyard, we got contact with several entities that passed along some information as it relates to Terry and some information as it relates to Slough and other things that are going on.
Slough was shown on Hellier. That was one of the things they found.
And so one of the things that we got in two different Ouija being contacts, whatever you want to call them. It was the same session, but two different entities.
Yeah.
Was that Slough was a government agency, and it was like, I'm trying to remember. So the F was foundation and the U was underground, but I don't remember what the first two letters, they didn't know what the first two letters were. So, his response is, in response to the hybrid question, hybrid is weak thinking. It's deeper than that. Is Slough short for a government agency? Yes. I quickly learned, by the way, to not ask answer no questions. yes or no question is an easy way out. But
yep.
Do you know where Ingrid Cold is? Yes. We don't believe him to be dead. He included dead but evolved. Is there a code we can use to contact you? Code? That's laughable. And then he just signed it Terry RW.
I guess, which is funny with him and the cipher work and all that.
Yeah. So I thought I had time left for a little bit, so I responded with, how old are you? And he came back with, sorry boys, time's up for more. I'll be in touch. The search is now. Leave your eyes on the sky, which also harkens back to our kind of newer sign off catchphrases that we do at the end of the pod. And then he just signed it TRW and then 5743321344531. For FTR, which I think FTR was for the record. And so I think Olaf figured that out to be an age.
Yeah.
So I don't remember what the age was, but he figured it out to be an age. So,
I mean, that's the thing. A lot of these emails, like a lot of the stuff we're still working on, we're still looking for answers because he's still not 100% forthcoming.
I mean, we got some information, like, so in the Ouija session that I was out, when I was out to visit you, with you all, and we did some stuff out in the desert and all that jazz. The Ouija session that we did right before I left produced some names. And
oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And one of those names, when we were looking into Dryden, one of those names worked at the Dryden.
Oh, the Trent or Howard Trent or something along Trent, yeah. Howard or
right.
Yeah. Right. So there we are on Dryden, looking up all the shit on Dryden, and there's a person that was employed there named Trent Howard or Howard Trent. I can't remember. Which, well, when you got two first names, I can't.
So, I mean, you know, and it's, you know, so yeah, I mean, it again, synchronicity, right? We hadn't, I don't think, talked about the Howard Trent stuff because we were worried about somebody tracking that person down, even though we can't find that Howard Trent anywhere else other than that one entry on the NASA's page.
Believe me, we have looked. I mean, I've been on the deep web looking. I can't find that person.
Yep. So, you know, we also, I think we got some other names, but none of those other names have yet played out.
Yeah, I mean, Grigori, I think, was in that same session.
Well, Grigori actually did come back around.
Right.
So Grigori was there at the Ouija session in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that, or he or she or whatever, I don't know, you know, the entity known as Grigori, was the one that first told us about, you know, Slough being a government agency, talked to us about the potentiality for Terry to be a hybrid, so on and so forth. And then Grigori came onto the board when I was there visiting you all, you know, earlier this year. And then I think we even had Grigori come onto the board when just Kristen and I came out back in June, when we did that session in, you know, in your all's apartment. So, you know, Grigori has come around a couple of times to pass along information. One of the things that Grigori came to pass along most recently, you know, was about visiting a specific location in Somerset. And we had not talked about that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And like a day later, Terry emailed talking about it. So, again, it's just those little things that, like, that come out in a Ouija session that make it, you know, and then Terry emails us about it, that really makes it hard to,
yeah, just so many past. So many just odd things. So you know, and it's that thing, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, for a minute it's like, well, is this Alan Greenfield? Well, no, he didn't know about this stuff, so how does he know about it, you know?
Yeah, so we did, and I it's out on the Patreon posting. We did a call with, like, the four of us, so me, you, Santosh, and Olav, right when this all kind of started happening, right when it, mm-hmm. when it first started coming in, we established because I was paranoid, we established a WhatsApp conversation, because it's actually encrypted as opposed to, like, Facebook Messenger that's not. And because I was all paranoid about, you know, somehow somebody tracking us or whatever, even though if they really wanted to know the information, I'm sure they could just get it from WhatsApp people, Facebook right. people. But anyways, so we jumped out there and we started having a conversation to kick things around and research stuff. And, you know, that's when we made the correlation to the Fool and the swords and all that kind of stuff, the tarot and everything. Like I said, those first numbers that were in the email that were, like, the separated by hashes, mm-hmm. That were like the 4 or 15, go back and find the actual message where it was, but that was like the 415 or 4 5 18 15 and then 25 18 and 15. Those, you found out, are just a very straight, you know, alpha A1B2 cipher, and it works out to, like, Darrow and Tarot,
right? Which, so we're that, like, so okay.
Yeah, so it was interesting there that he did use cipher entry, but it wasn't like Alan's cipher. It was just more of a common A1B2 mm-hmm. cipher. Forgot where I was going with my train of thought. It derailed. I'll come back to it. So we got into that WhatsApp conversation. We figured out a lot of different things. We identified a bunch of different rabbit holes. We got on a call, though. That's where I was going. We got on a call with Olaf and myself and you and Santosh, and we talked through a lot of things for like 2.5 hours. And I did get it cut down to like 50 minutes. I cut out a lot of like just people talking or standing up to go get tea or whatever the case would be. And I got it down to about 50 minutes, and that's available for anybody on the Patreon page. And I won't, you know, I'll just say that there's one particular thing in there that I'm, you know, there's a lot of good stuff that's covered and a lot of insight that we find, but there's one particular thing in there that I absolutely love. And that is when all this started happening, Olaf had a conversation with Alan Greenfield, and Olaf, you know, provided Alan what had happened thus far with just those three email exchanges. And
yeah, Alan was like, Alan was just sick, man. Cause right, that's why Alan we couldn't get a hold of him.
Right. He was out of touch. So, but yeah, Alan at that point in time in conversation with Olaf did agree that we were dealing with the same or a similar Terry than who Alan had worked with back when he interviewed for the book.
Yeah.
So that was to me a big turning point, that the fact that the only other person that we know of, the only person that we know of who's actually interacted with Terry kind of gave us the seal of approval that this
in
is,
person, yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is probably the same Terry that he'd been working with. So now I want to jump over. So after there was a couple more back and forths in email where, you know, Terry kind of again continued to go down the Dryden route. And he always used very interesting subject lines. So this one here is this was on April 13th, and it was "As Shadows They Pass." And it says, "The stew was hot," because he watched our Astral Stew episode. and it says, "Imagine a meeting," spelled like M-E-A-T, "of celebrities," because that was the
celebrity meet.
Yeah. So you know, all joking aside, I like the video show. Some interesting tidbits on Dryden. There would be no Air Force without him. Did he have his hands in the events at Roswell and Mount Rainier? He had Kennedy's ear. There would be no USA in space or even the moon without him. What about his Russian friend, scientist Anatoly Blagonarov, which you knew in us having a conversation, right?
Yeah.
You knew that name, I think?
I believe so.
I think this was one where you knew you knew Anatoly, but you didn't know the rocket science guy that I can't think of his name right now, Werner von Braun. So anyways, who, by the way, is his name is Werner von Braun, not Werner von Braun that Greer always says. But anyways.
Right. And remember, we also found an older aged Dryden. And he looked just like Alan Greenfield.
Exactly like Alan Greenfield. Yeah. I've got a side by side video.
Yeah, we did a side by side. It's so funny how similar they look. It's creepy. It's like, but, Alan, are you a time traveler?
Yeah, really. Like we may have found John Teeter. But anyways, right. So, you know, his Russian friend, have you gotten there yet? But the big question is, and this is again in his email, "We were already in space before 1947, weren't we?" Dryden knew. "Naka Naka, N-A-C-A, N-A-C-A, right. Who's there?" "Hugh Latimer Dryden." "Hugh Latimer Dryden who?" "Hugh Latimer Dryden, the Project Echo have hidden answers."
So a lot to unpack there, too. I mean, you're digging into secret space program that's way ahead of schedule. You know, really showing that we were in space. He said even before Roswell, which was
crazy. Yeah. So, and up to this point, I think we talked about on the show a couple of times how either in the Ouija session or Estes, we kept getting hints or even nudges that we needed to go to Colorado. So he closes off the email with, "Keep fighting, boys, and go to Colorado when you can. Something is there waiting for you. You'll hear from me again as soon as you get some things right. I'll be watching and listening. TRW. P.S. Wristwatch made me smile, and that's hard to do these days. P.P.S. Anyone else notice how much Spider Rainbow looks like Dryden?" Smiled again. Spider Rainbow, of course, being Alan Greenfield.
And just very interesting stuff there. So much to constantly unpack here, you know. The Colorado stuff we've been talking about, we had something talking about going to some salt flats or something in Colorado at this point, on the Ouija board sessions. Something else I'd looked into, you know, there was that, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was like something like Black Knight or something along that lines, that satellite that people saw that in the skies,
yep,
like long before there was anything in space, you know. And I'm like, I wonder if that is what, you know, could be something that they're referencing. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. So the next thing we got, and this is where it started to get serious, I guess is the right word. So he sent us a secure message via Proton Mail with a password hint of mystery, and we were like totally lost. We ran through the cipher. We made it more difficult than it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, we took it to Patreon, and some of the patrons there were trying to help us decipher it as well,
but it ended up just being Shaver.
With Shaver mystery, didn't even go right there.
So but anyway, so we got it uncoded, and man, that message really opened up a lot of things.
Yeah, this was at the point where I feel like he started trusting us, because he went from using these temporary emails to one that has consistently stayed. I mean, we have been using this email now since then with him. It's just a secured email.
Yep. So, and I didn't save the encrypted message, and it's not available for download because it's only a valid link for a certain amount of time. I'm trying to get into WhatsApp to actually look it up and see what it was.
Yeah, it's like, I know we have it on WhatsApp.
Well, and I even downloaded the WhatsApp text conversation, so I'm sure it's in there too.
Yeah. When was that sent?
That was sent on May 23rd.
So he sends us this, and this wasn't something that would expire, like we said. It says it expires in 27 days, which I don't know if we want to give away his email or not, but it's clever. We won't give that away, but yep. Something for us to know it was him. But he says, "Hello, boys. I've decided I can trust you. Well, as far as I can trust someone. I'm not going to use temporary or anonymous emails from this point forward. I have created this email to create a better back and forth in contact. So if you fuck me over, I will revert back to using those communication types, or simply none at all. I don't have time for such bullshit. I've been in hiding for a long time, and I am not who you think I am, but I am also just who you think." So he goes on, he says, "Have you discovered the importance of the Krytron yet, or whether Lazar has told the truth? If you followed my directions from Groom Lake, you'll notice more clues than you thought. The thing is that they are all worth time in the sun and out of it. But there is a spot. It was once one of my bases. I've not been there in 20 years, and so I'm not sure if it even exists anymore, but there are some answers there, hopefully. I listened again to your Valiant Thor episode. Did you do any research outside of Wikipedia, for Christ's sakes? There's a video of him out there, and yes, he does know Indrid Cold. Thus," I won't read this part because it's we need to save that, "I have met both of them. You know my story of meeting Indrid Cold, though I believe he has already changed forms since then, as I have. Much like the Doctor Who program that changes are hard on the body and mind. So much so, those of us able to chameleon wonder if it was our actual body that changes or if our mind spirit is simply transferred to another shell. So in that, I am the same Terry that met Alan, yet I am completely different as well. My memories of past carnations are like dreams. Sometimes they are vivid and bright, other times they are foggy and distant. But I have written my story down to be given to the public at the time of my choosing. Someday, some life. But I will tell you this, I knew Dryden. I met him many times before his demise. Do you know how he really died? He knew Valiant Thor as well. And when Thor presented himself, he did not make it known the many times he visited before secretly. Let me just say that Queen Victoria was a big believer because of him. I know some of this or all of it seems and sounds science fiction and slightly insane, but it wasn't, at least not to me and my crew. It's why I have to give you clues instead of answers. If you don't find them on your own and I just give you answers, it will all seem too far-fetched. But if you find them on your own, you will understand the connection, the synchronicities, and your parts in it. I'm glad you brought Santosh and Olaf Phillips in on this. You will need all the help you can get in the coming year or so. I have to depart for now as I need to regenerate and prepare for the underground conflict tomorrow. We will be fighting on two fronts, in the earth and in the mind. I'll respond again when I can. Until then, I leave you with another place to add to your travels. Something more than water fell here. Open your eyes, and then he put in parentheses three, here and peek around, and then he gave us these coordinates and then signed Terrence Wrist. And he also had attached a tall map.
Yep. Which led us down the rabbit hole of trying to figure out how that related, which we, I think, made a lot of strong correlation between the tall map and some constellations and how that potentially all relates. And yeah, so again, this is just a little bit of an enticement. Even if you just pay the $9 tier for a month just to be able to see that video, I highly recommend it if you're at all intrigued.
Yeah, the one with you and Santosh and Olaf talking about stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really interesting. And it's like, even he gets into kind of referring to himself as almost like a chameleon or Doctor Who regeneration. But as we've learned, that even then was a clue within a clue of what was really going on. I now know that he was not implying that he was a shape changer.
No.
Though I think he probably can disguise himself well. That's not it's so much deeper than that. Yeah. And it's amazing looking back with these eyes now and seeing how much he gave us in that email.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually just thinking the other day that we should probably, the four of us, or you and I and Santosh or whoever, but actually do a time where we just go back and re-unpack those early emails.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just again, talking about the directions he gave us from Groom Lake and all the crazy things that we discovered with Santosh and Olaf of potential spots and places. And it's funny because all of them that we've discovered seem super legit and worthy of being checked out. And those are all places we'll be checking out when you move out here. Some really interesting spots, including, you know, these last sets of coordinates as well.
Yeah. So so then he went like 4 days, and then he sent another email. And a lot of times it is very much him emailing us, providing, you know, detail. Although we do have some conversations where I've emailed and gotten a response. So
yeah, it's almost as if he's out fighting this battle like he talked about in the interview with Alan, you know, like, underground, and then he's like, I need to tell these guys about this.
Yeah.
Imagine and he's like, coming, you talk about
coming up to, you know, for the safe house or something. Mm-hmm. So this one on the 27th was started like this. I don't have much time. There was lots of silver to be had, and they took it, the generals. But silver was not the one thing to be had there. 5 points. If you ever want to explore the real underground, you'll need to learn to shift your mind. Astral studies are the key. There is a war in that plane that is brewing. There will be two disclosures. One we hear, and one only the top brass hear. Disclosure 2 will feature the battle raging in the astral realm to come. It's all connected. Do you hear me? All connected. And then just sign simply T.
Yeah, and he's mentioned this again. I mean, even in the last email before that one, it was, I have two battles to fight. One underground and one in the mind.
Yeah, the mind, yep. And we do know, you know, so the, again, this goes back to, this came out May 27th. We had not received the Pentagon report yet. Mm-hmm. We know now that there are two disclosures, because they've been talking about the classified report that, like, has been delivered to people of Congress and NASA, mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff. So, now one could say somebody would, I mean, I think I even talked about the possibility of there being a public disclosure versus a private, you know, or high security disclosure. So I'm not necessarily saying he has the inside track, but I mean, this came out before the government funding. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, like, the Silver Star Mine, because the star has 5 points.
All,
you know,
kinds of stuff in there. I mean, there's metal, because he talks about top brass and silver. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of metal. And, of course, in Nevada, near Groom Lake, are many mines. That's what they did, was that they were all about getting the metals. And so, I mean, there's just so broad.
And also, you know, there's 5 points on a Pentagon, and we're talking about generals, mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah. So, I think, you know, we spent a little bit of time trying to, you know, at least I did, trying to figure out, you know, who this person was, but ultimately I just resolved to, you know, it's, regardless if it's really the same Terry, although Alan has now, you know, like I said that he is, or not, he's providing us with a crap ton of information. So
a crap ton.
So we actually formulated a response back to Terry.
Yeah, because we spent, between this email and the last email, we spent a ton of time talking with Olav and Santosh, which is all in that video that's on Patreon. Really digging deep, and on WhatsApp. I mean, oh man, did we dig deep.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we responded back with some information we found about Dryden, Lazar, EG&G, Kryton.
Yeah, and then this was around the time too we were on Olav's radio show, right? This was around time. Yeah.
We also did that Clubhouse thing with Olav for a little bit. So, you know, one of the things he had said was to go a certain distance south of Broom Lake, and then, you know, you'll find some stuff. And one of the things that we found is that it was really close to where Art Bell
is buried.
Is buried. Yeah. So,
which is total awesomeness, craziness, man. Because, you know, for those of you who don't know who Art Bell is, I'm not sure why you don't, but he's the original host of Coast to Coast AM, and, you know, really helped put paranormal stuff on the map, man, especially UFO conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, so you know, we found that connection. We sent that connection over the Tal map. We, you know, included the things that we found from the Tal map, the generals and the 5 points, and then some information that we just read about Valiant Thor and Mount Shasta, and then just kind of closed it off with, you know, this is what we found so far. He then replied back and answered some of those questions, or some of those thoughts or comments, and this is what he had to say about that. Excellent work, pretty impressive. With the directions heading south, 5 points is double fold, 5 points south of Groom Lake, depending on where you start. Star is still a solid assumption as well. There is magic here and there, and some that could be done and undone. Stefan is pagan. He may understand. Hell, even Olav might. there is more than one mission here. Some are apparent based off the clues. Others are combined with clues throughout our various communiques. I do have my sources. I'm going to not read this next part. He did say, you know, I want no fucking fame. I only want to help heal the fractures and prepare folks for the things that come before I shift again. I never once sent them a message in the first place. Sorry, you know, skip past that a little bit. The old Terry used a broken cadence in a way to entice you to read more. This is why I no longer feel the need to use it. I can talk to you because of your better understanding of the path. Like I said, I listen intently to your shows. Your path is true. Stay on course. So a few emails back, I said to you that I was not the Terry you were looking for, yet still the same. Look into Bell's theorem to understand the shifts. Sometimes I'm here and he's there, and others. In my memories, I'm not going to read this part. All of us that shift know pieces of each other's memories and missions. I've been here a while now. It takes a toll. It's why I need to change and shift this visage as well. I don't know when I'll be able to respond next. I'm in Asia, and the Dums, deep underground military bases, here are so very different and treacherous, and finding signals or couriers are tough. But keep fighting. Keep sharing the info to those that will understand it, Terry. And then he included an image that was the transmanic. I'm not going to say it right. What was it? That like the five pointed magical star?
Tetragramma. Where's Santosh when you need him?
Matan tetragram. So, and it's just look it up. It's really interesting looking thing. And so we did some stuff.
Famous occult symbol.
Trying to overlay that on some maps and things like that.
This really opened up some things for Olaf, who's really big into occult type stuff, especially Jack Parsons and some of the things that he did out in the desert near this area.
Laid that over some the tall map stuff and came up with some interesting, you know, information based on that. But bottom line, I mean, it was a lot of information to unpack in just that email alone. We did send an email back saying basically, you know, he sent an email wishing us a happy 4th of July, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Then on 7/19, sent him an email. Terry, I hope he had a good 4th. In an old book, I found a conversation between Shaver and Palmer. They talked about the Shaver books and how Palmer sensationalized it. One thing that stood out to me was that Shaver said the Darrow and the Tarot looked like us and were always walking among us. This, of course, is different from how Palmer described them with long snouts and such. If the Darrow and Tarot look like us, are they the same as Eendred, Valiant, MIB, etc.? What are your thoughts? His response back was, it depends. Some Tarot have evolved to adapt to human facsimiles.
And Darrow, just a heads up here, if you don't know what the Darrow and Tarot are, go back and listen to our Shaver Mystery episode. Yeah.
Darrow are definitely most like the MIB in Kill's books. The elephant-like nose was fabricated by Palmer. I've never seen one like that or heard tale of them from Tarot. And with the Tarot, there has been much breeding with humans. You would be hard-pressed to find a full-blooded Tarot. Most do not even know they are Tarot until they are called to the cause to fight the Darrow. And before you ask, I do not know how or when they are called. It is a very close guarded secret and may be different here than on my Earth.
Say so what?
I want to take just a minute because I don't know. I think we may have glossed over this a little bit in his communiques. But so Terry at this point in time is basically kind of laid out for us that he shifts. It's like a multiverse theory, right? So there's
right. This is, remember how we told you that the chameleon stuff, the regeneration, blah blah blah, was coded here. Well, we find out this is what he was implying, was this dimensional theory stuff that we start getting into.
So it's like, you know, the Terry that we're conversing with now is actually a Terry from a different Earth in the multiverse. And that, you know, eventually there will be a shift, and the Terry we're conversing with now will shift to another multiverse Earth, and a new Terry will take his place.
And that this has been happening for quite some time.
Right.
Is the one thing that we've gathered from this. And it's interesting because some of the questions that Alan had asked, Terry was very right on them, but different, because on his Earth where he was from, Alan Greenfield was an African-American guy, first of all. And so some of the questions, they were similar, but different. So, for example, you know, if you were to say, oh, yeah, you know, I had Superman issue 237. Well, maybe on his Earth it said 238, but that was enough for Alan to be like, how'd he know that it was Superman? Right. Like, I never said right. It was Superman. Yeah. Doesn't matter that the issue is different. That shows me it's the same Terry from a different Earth, right. So to speak. So.
Yeah. So and I think I'll kind of close it out with, we've got a lot more emails from him, but I want to close off with this just one last email, because this really, I think, hits on the head for me for where I've been thinking a lot lately is, have you ever heard of Plato's Cave? Meant to be an allegory, but it is not. There are many of these prisons underground, and the shadows are dark. We have liberated many. However, there are some shadows that do not offend, and indeed begin to make amends. Darkness does not equate evil, some of the time. Sometimes you have to open your eyes into the darkness and close your eyes to the sun. So, if you like to eat your cereal without a little, the Phantom Empire from 1935 is more truth than fun.
You spelled cereal, S-E-R-I-A-L.
Yep. Mew is not something to discount. TW.
Which, of course, gets us more into the Shaver mystery stuff again. Yep. Is this idea that the Hollow Earth, Darrow-Tarrow yep. civilization was either Mew or Lemuria or Atlantis yep. along those lines. But yeah, I mean, it's like as crazy and fantastical and sci-fi as it gets, like at this point, talking about the dimensional shifts and the things like that, it kind of gets more grounded, too. So, I mean, you know, I hate to leave you all at this point, because we still have much more that has come after this. And I'm sure there's more to come. And again, like I said, especially, you know, videos and WhatsApp chats and things like that we've had about this stuff, you know, is on Patreon. But as you can see, it's not something we can talk about every single episode. There's just too yeah. much information. It's too much information out there. And it's just getting deeper and deeper.
We have probably about five different locations at this point in time that we actually need to go to and visit and spend time at and do investigations and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's going to take time to actually do those investigations and then package that up in some sort of a presentable format for everybody to consume. So, I mean, you know, Stefan's point is, you know, there's just a lot to unpack here from Terry. And I mean, I love that we have this relationship now that we're communicating more frequently, but it's also like a little bit of a, you know, we just keep getting more and more and more that we need to look into and work on. And so I'm excited and also a little stressed, but
right. But, and having this on Patreon, like, it allows our patrons out there to have something to look forward to more than just, you know, the standard, oh, here's an episode a week before, here's a Q&A, you know, it's not the yeah. same old stuff. It's you get to become a part. It's almost like the Liminal Lodge, you know, with Penny Royal. It's like, you get to become a part of this investigation with us and help us, because we're just, you know, a few people. I mean, for the most part, it's mostly just Josh and myself, you know, and then Santosh and Olav help out quite a bit. But it's like, we are constantly thinking about this, and we could always use different points of views. So again, you know, if you're interested in joining the mystery and the investigation, please go to fearscapepodcast.com/support or patreon.com/fearscapepod and at least hit that $9 tier so that you can get that information. There's just, and we've got a Q&A coming up soon, and just all kinds of stuff. And those are really great places and times for you to, you know, dig a little deeper. And more we figure things out, the more and more information we're going to share with you, as long as we know it's safe.
You know, the more the merrier. We're not trying to hold anything back. We're just making sure that, number one, we keep people safe, we keep locations safe, and you know, would love for you to be a part of the investigation.
And let us know anything that we've shared today. You know, if there's anything that rings a bell, I mean, we talked about Bell's theorem, right? So if there's anything that you might have more information on that you want to share with us, please do, you know, because our research may just be limited to things we might think. But anyways, that's that. I could go on. We could keep going on, but I know I do want to get out of here too. And of course, you know, down the road, you know, I guess another year from now or so, I mean, we'll discuss some more of things that are going on. But until then, like I said, join our Patreon and see what's going on and see if you can give us a hand. I know here in about a week or two, we've got a trip to Somerset, Kentucky. We're going to be meeting up with the Penny Royal guys, with Nathan and Kyle, and some things. We've got some cool stuff planned. Even one of the spots that Terry recommended, we're going to be going to that happens to be in Kentucky. So
that Terry recommended and that the Ouija board recommended.
Yep. So lots of stuff to come soon. But we're very thankful that you guys continue to listen and are interested in our journey. So we thank you guys so much. And Josh, I thank you for, you know, kind of spearheading this whole thing. You really kind of really take that and really run with it and kind of handle it. You're on it a lot better than I can be. So. But one of my favorite moments was when you, me, and Santosh were having a conversation about it, and he emails right in the middle of us talking about him. An email comes in right as we're talking about him, which it's like, all right, so we know you're psychic. So that was fun. Anyways, thank you guys so much. We love you guys so much. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't yet and you're on an Android phone, please download the Fearscape Media Network app. It's super cool. Has Misters of the Dark on there. It has Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement. It's got Wishful Drinking and Binge Thinking. It's got all of our great shows that are on there, and it's so much fun, and it's free. So, you know, go ahead and check that out. It's super fun. But Josh, let's go ahead and get to our final segment so we can get out of here, which is Encounters from the Fearscape. All right. So, of course, we've got this week. This comes from a listener from South Carolina named Roy. And he actually shares a number of different stories. So bear with me. It is a little bit longer, but Roy has some really cool stories here. So let's go ahead and check this out.
Hello, I'm Roy. I experienced a ghost seance when I was about 8 years old, and I lived in two houses in California that were haunted. So my life was already just there in this. The first house that was haunted that I lived in was in Lompoc. Now, I knew something was there right when we moved in. It was a very depressing home. And the biggest thing that happened to me in that home was that one night, my pillow was pulled out from under my head, and then it just floated there. And then the pillowcase came off of the pillow, and then the pillow fell on the floor. And then a second or two later, the pillowcase fell on top of it. I quickly pulled my covers over my head like I do most nights, and eventually I fell asleep. Now later, when my mama woke me up in the morning, there it was, like I had seen it, still on the floor. I didn't tell my parents about it because I didn't think that they would believe me. Now, sometime later, I heard my dad and my mom talking to my grandparents. My dad said that something sits on the end of their bed at night, and when he looks away and then looks back, it's gone. One night, I heard a voice say in my room,
"I'm going to get you."
So thank God we moved to Santa Maria not long after. And I was glad because there were no ghosts there. But not long after that, we moved to Camarillo and bought another haunted home with a ghost that liked to really mess with me. My room would get cold and sometimes I would see this mist. And I know what sleep paralysis is, but it only happened to me when the ghost was there. Now, I'd never seen the ghost with my own eyes, but I knew it was an older lady somehow. Well, one night, I had to call my friend around midnight to let me come over to sleep at his house because I was so damn scared I couldn't take it anymore. And thank God his parents were understanding. So no surprise, but at 18, I immediately moved out. These days, when I walk into a house, I can tell if there's anything there immediately. And sometimes I tell the homeowners about it. I even amaze my friends sometimes. Now, for example, 3 years ago, I went with friends to go look at a home that was for sale. And the realtor was late, but gave us the code to get in. And when I walked in, the TV in the living room comes on and at full blast. And I felt the spirit in the room. And I said to my friends, "A man just died here." And I knew somehow that he was this old man and very short and lived alone. My friends just laughed at me. Well, later on, the realtor showed up with the lady that owns it. And my friend's wife was out talking to the lady that owns it and asked her if anyone had died in the home. And the owner said, "Yes, my dad just passed away in it the other day." Here's another story. When I went to my wife's house for the first time, as soon as I walked in, I felt it. So I said, "Oh, you have a ghost here." And she laughed and she said, "Yes, it lives upstairs with her three daughters and they called him George, but they didn't mind him being there and neither did she." But we got married and we lived there for about 20 years. But I would never, ever go upstairs unless someone was home because, hello, I am afraid of ghosts. And now we live in a different home and there's no ghosts, thank God. But what sucks though, is that I love deer hunting, but going in the woods at night in the dark and feeling things look at me, it makes it hard because it's quite frightening. I tell myself it's just raccoons or foxes or rabbits or whatever, but I know sometimes it's Native Americans or old people that lived there before us. I've had a lot of other things happen as well. I even sometimes now in the morning see ghosts while I'm driving and I just look away after I see them and they know that I see them. But anyways, that's all I wanted to share today. And I just thank you boys for listening to my stories.
Whew, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. It sounds to me like he's got a lot more stories. So, Roy, if you're listening, please send in more, just like you guys can send in yours to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com or find us on any social media at fearscapepod and send us those stories. Thank you, Roy. There's some scary stuff in there.
And it's interesting that it seems like almost a switch was flipped when he was younger and then he just started, seeing everything. So,
yeah, it was like a throwaway line, but he says, "When I was 8 years old, I experienced a ghost at a seance and then just jumped into living." Didn't talk about that story. That's what I want to know about, Roy. If you ever write us back, I want to know about your story with the seance when you're 8 years old. Because, that sounds like a trigger point to me. So I don't know. So, very interesting.
Very cool.
And I love that there's good and bad ghosts in this as well. Like there's the ones like, "Oh, yeah, the girls call him George. We love him. We love him," but he's like, "Nah, man, I ain't messing with that." Very, very cool. But again, send your stories to us. We love those stories. Send your encounters. We want to hear them all. We want to share them all. Just a reminder, we're going to be at the Mid-America Paracon here shortly, man. Here, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd and in Louisville, Kentucky. You can go to, I believe, midamericaparacon.com. You know, you can check that out as part of the Fright Film Fan Fest. It's going to be a lot of fun. Keith Age is going to be there. Scotty Rourke, I believe, is going to be there. A lot of our friends are going to be there. It's going to be a fantastic time. You can meet up with us. Say hello. Lance from Misters of the Dark is going to be there. I'm going to be reading tarot. Like, there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff going on.
No. I'm going to be sitting there looking pretty.
Looking real pretty. And we even got some really cool Jersey Devil.
Don't tell him, it's a surprise.
Well, we got some cool Jersey Devil stuff. Just be on the lookout. There's going to be some really neat stuff there at our booth, our table. Come talk to us. Ask us questions about Wristwatch and ways that you can help us out. We are going to skedaddle, my friend Josh. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Same here. Every single week. Love the show.
Every single week. Don't forget to check out Astro Stew. We just dropped a new episode, I think a week or so ago, about the Noosphere. Those are always so much fun. Santosh, man, what a brilliant mind. So I love getting his thoughts on everything. Other than that, I guess we'll get out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. My name is Stefan, and just a reminder, keep your eyes on the skies.
This has been Josh. The search is now.
Oh, I see what you did there. Copy and terrorist. That's copyrighted now, man. Anyways, hold those blankets extra tight. Things tend to get spooky when you're listening to Fearscape. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We hope you have enjoyed this guidepost on the road of high strangeness with us. And we thank you, as always, for listening and joining our caravan to the weird and unknown. Please consider supporting us as we continue our journey to find the answers we all seek. FearscapePodcast.com/support.